glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're here.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 20th, 2015. I have no doubt if you were tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, you're back for more today. As we'll continue our introductory session, Is There More to Life Than This by Nikki Gumbel, which is part of the Alpha Course. This broadcast is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk, and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. You can find out more about Alpha at alphausa.org, alphausa.org. This Alpha broadcast on Great News Radio is produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2014, with the Alpha Course copyrighted in 2007. Today and yesterday's broadcast is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Do you hunger for meaning and purpose? Do you wonder what is the point of life or where you're headed? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So listen now as Nikki Gumbel explains the life you can have in Christ.
I was fascinated reading a book by Leo Tolstoy. I'd read War and Peace and Anna Karenina, but I never read this book called A Confession, in which he tells his life story, his search for meaning, for purpose. He describes how he rejected Christianity as a child. And then as he went on through life, he became very ambitious. First of all, he thought, well, maybe pleasure is the answer, just having a great time. He entered the social whirl of Moscow and St. Petersburg, drinking heavily, sleeping around, gambling, living a wild life. And he found it just didn't satisfy. And he thought, well, maybe money is the answer. He'd inherited a large estate and started to make a lot of money out of his books. But he found even however much money he had, it didn't satisfy. And he thought, well, maybe the answer is success, fame, importance. He wrote what the Encyclopedia Britannica described as one of the two or three greatest novels in world literature. But still, he said, it didn't satisfy. He thought, well, maybe the answer is family life. To give my family the best possible life. He'd married in 1862 and had a happy family and 13 children, which, he says, distracted him from his search for the overall meaning of life. He said he'd achieved all his ambitions and was surrounded by what is considered to be complete happiness. Yet one question drove him to the verge of suicide. And the question was this: what meaning has my life that the inevitability of death does not destroy? And he tried to search in every field of science and philosophy to try and come up with an answer to this. And the only answer he could come up with from philosophy or science was this: to the question, why do I live? In the infinity of space and the infinity of time, infinitely small particles mutate with infinite complexity. He didn't find that very satisfying. So he started to look around at his contemporaries. And he found that many of them were just avoiding the issue. They weren't really thinking about that. And eventually he found in the peasant people of Russia the answer he'd been looking for, in their faith in God through Jesus Christ. 100 years later, nothing's changed. Freddie Mercury, the lead singer in the rock group Queen, had amassed a huge fortune, attracted thousands, probably millions, of fans. But he admitted in an interview shortly before his death that he was desperately lonely. He said this: you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that's the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds. But it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need. A loving, ongoing relationship. And ultimately, there is only one relationship that is completely loving and totally ongoing. And that is a relationship with God. And Jesus said, I'm the way to that relationship. I'm the way to find the purpose for which we're made. Sometimes people say, well, what difference does that make in your life? I sometimes use this analogy because, in a way, before I was a Christian, I was perfectly happy with life as it was. I wasn't searching for anything. When we were children, we had a black and white television set. I don't think they have television sets that are as bad as this now, but we had one of those sets that it used to just go into lines like this. It was so hard watching it because I remember, this really dates me, but we actually watched the 1966 World Cup on that television. And as England were about to score a goal, it went into lines like that. And we found that there were certain things that you could do to improve the quality of the picture. You could put your hand round the back at certain points. There were also certain floorboards that if you stood on them, you could get a slightly better picture. And then we discovered this. What that television needed was an aerial. When we put an aerial in, we got these amazing clear pictures. But if you like, that describes the difference. Because once we'd experienced those pictures with the aerial, we would never have wanted to go back to how it was before. And once someone has experienced a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it's like the aerial. This is what life's all about. Jesus said, I'm the way. Secondly, he brings reality to a confused world. He said, I'm the truth. Sometimes people say, well, you know, it's great that he satisfies that hunger, but I don't have a need. Isn't it just a kind of crutch for weak people who need that kind of thing? And if you need that kind of thing, then it's lovely for you. But it's not for me. Logically, that can't be the case, because if it's true, it's true for everyone. And if it's not true, then it's not actually lovely for those who believe something that isn't true, because they're, in a way, they're deluded. C.S. Lewis put it like this. He said, Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. So that's the question. Is it true? Jesus said, I am the truth. I don't think I had realized how much evidence there is. One of the things that we do on Alpha is to look at the historical evidence for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the linchpin of Christianity. It's fascinating to me how many people who are kind of used to looking at evidence who've come to the conclusion it's true. One former professor of history at Oxford University described the resurrection as the best attested fact in history. I hadn't realized how many of the pioneers of modern science were believers. Descartes, Newton, Kepler, Galileo, Locke, Copernicus, Faraday, Boyle, Mendel, Kelvin, Pasteur, Lister, Maxwell, Simpson. Professor James Simpson, the brilliant scientist whose discoveries paved the way for safe, painless surgery. Someone once asked him, Professor Simpson, of all these discoveries you've made, which of them was the greatest? And he said, well, actually, the greatest discovery I ever made was the day I discovered Jesus Christ. Lawyers, perhaps the greatest lawyer of the second half of the 20th century was Lord Denning. Lord Denning towered really over the legal profession for 50 years. He was also the president of the Lawyers Christian Fellowship. He looked at the evidence and come to the conclusion, it's true. But when Jesus said, I am the truth, he was talking about more than just a kind of intellectual truth. The Hebrew understanding of truth was truth as experienced. And there's a big difference between a kind of intellectual knowledge and a personal knowledge, between the head and the heart, if you like. Again, forgive me for using an analogy, but I've been married to my wife, Pippa, now for nearly 25 years. But supposing before we were married, before I'd even met her, I went into a bookshop, and there was a book about her called Pippa, The Amazing Woman. And I thought, that looks interesting. I'll pick it up and have a look. Chapter 1, her sparkling personality. Chapter 2, her extraordinary intelligence. Chapter 3, her infinite patience. Chapter 4, her potential to be a long-suffering wife. Chapter 5, her cordon bleu cooking skills. Chapter 6, her sporting ability. Quite a short chapter. But not as short as if it was about my sporting ability, I hasten to add. And if I'd looked at this book and thought, wow, she sounds an amazing person. That is intellectual knowledge, head knowledge. Now, I can tell you she's an amazing person. That's personal knowledge. That's the experience of 25 years of marriage. And when someone says, I know Jesus is the truth, they're talking not just about being convinced of the evidence. They're talking about experiencing a relationship with the risen Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Thirdly, he brings life in a dark world. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Jesus came to set us free from the things that spoil our lives, the things that are wrong in our lives. There's a big difference from the things that we do that are wrong and the mistakes that we make. We all make lots of mistakes, and our mistakes can be relatively harmless or even amusing. So the mistakes that we make can be relatively harmless, but the things that we do wrong really matter. There is such a thing, certainly in my case, as true guilt. The great Russian novelist and Nobel Prize winner Alexander Solzhenitsyn said this: the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. The message, the Christian message, is good news. That's what the word gospel means. And the good news is this: God loves you. And he loves you and me so much that he came in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die for us. And on the cross, Jesus took everything you and I have ever done wrong, said wrong, thought wrong. He died in our place. He died for you, and he died for me. In fact, if you had been the only person, he would have done it for you or for me. He loves us that much. And because of that, it's possible for our guilt to be taken away. He came to set us free from guilt. He came to set us free from addiction. The things in our lives that we hate that get a grip of us. He came to set us free from fear. The fear of death and all the fears that go with it. Because Jesus not only died for us, he rose again from the dead. He conquered death. He set us free to know God, to have a relationship with God. He set us free to change, to be the kind of person that deep down we're longing to be. He sends his Spirit to live within us, to begin to change us. The fruit of the Spirit begin to grow: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. He set us free to love with a new dimension. Because when we've experienced God's love for us, being poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that gives us a totally new love for everybody else, for God and for the world around us. So it's not just about having some great feeling. It's about going out and making a difference in a world that so desperately needs transformation. Now, it's not easy necessarily. I don't think it's easy to be a Christian today. I think today, certainly living in this part of the world, I think it's much harder to be a true Christian than not to be a Christian. I was fascinated to see an interview in the Sunday Times with Alice Cooper, the rock musician. What it said is this, that Alice Cooper has a dark secret. The 53-year-old rocker is a Christian. And in this interview, Alice Cooper describes his conversion to Christianity. But it hasn't been easy combining religion and rock. This is what he says. "It's the most rebellious thing I've ever done. Drinking beer is easy. Trashing your hotel room is easy. But being a Christian, that's a tough call. That's real rebellion." It's not easy, but nor is it boring. It's not untrue. It's not irrelevant to our lives. It's exciting. It's true. It's relevant because Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life." Now, I don't know how you respond to what we've been looking at this evening. I guess there are a number of different possible reactions. Some of you may say, "Absolutely. I've never been in this place before, never heard of the Alpha Course, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and it's the most wonderful thing." That's fantastic. And it doesn't matter, maybe you come from a Catholic church or a Methodist or a Baptist, Salvation Army, it could be any part of the church. I don't think which part of the church is the most important thing. The most important thing is that you have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Others might say, "Well, I'm not so sure that I do have that relationship." When Paul went to Athens and spoke about the good news about Jesus and the resurrection, there were three different reactions. Some sneered. And if you're here tonight sneering, please don't think I'm standing here judging you, because I went to talks about the Christian faith and I sneered at them. So it may be not the right moment for you. Other people, when they heard him, said, "Not convinced. But I'd like to hear more. I'd like to investigate further." And if that you're in that category, I would really encourage you to investigate further. There are lots of ways you can do that. You could do it totally on your own. Just get hold of a New Testament and read it for yourself. You might say, "Well, I need a bit of help." Well, you could go along to any church in the country, Catholic, Anglican, Methodist, Baptist, and say, "Could you help me?" Is there a course that I could go on? Alpha is one course, which is a practical introduction to the Christian faith. But it's not the only one. We're not saying that it's the best one. It's just one way of doing it. It's running now in thousands of churches around the place. And you could probably find one, if you don't come from this area, in a church near you. Or if you'd like to come here, we'd love to have you here. But that's not the point. The point is that if it's true, it's of infinite importance. And it must be worth spending, say, 10 Wednesday evenings investigating to find out whether you think it is true. Third category, when Paul went to Athens, is some believed. They only heard once, and they said, I'd love that. And there may just be one person here tonight who says, I'd love that. I would really love to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The good news is, you can experience that right now. It's a very simple thing. It's turning away from the things that we know are wrong, saying sorry, thanking Jesus for dying for us, putting our faith in him, and then saying, please, please come and fill me with your spirit. Sorry, thank you, please. And I want to make it possible for anyone who's here who'd like to pray that prayer to do so. And I'm going to ask you to be very kind. I'm not going to ask anyone to pray it out loud, but in the silence of your hearts. God can hear the prayers in our hearts. Jesus is here. He's risen from the dead. But to make it possible for someone who would like to pray, would you be kind and just maybe for a moment, just close your eyes for, or bow your head for a moment, just so that we... to give that person who would like to pray the opportunity to do so in a dignified way. Jesus is here, he's alive, you can speak to him tonight. Just echo this silently in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things in my life that have been wrong. And if anything comes to mind, ask his forgiveness. I now turn away from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died for me on the cross. I now receive your forgiveness. I trust you with my life. And I ask you, please, to come and to fill me with your spirit. To be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Wow, what a powerful message. And if you prayed that prayer, or you want to talk with a trained counselor free of charge, no obligation, that would love to answer your questions about having a relationship with God, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and don't delay, as you'll never regret starting that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Next Monday and Tuesday, Nikki Gumbel's topic is, Who is Jesus? I hope you'll tell a friend and tune in again and expect a blessing. Now realize the Alpha course is best done in a home or church or setting where it can include food, the video presentation with open discussion and small groups where you can share your thoughts and feelings. A very non-threatening environment for the seeker, the new believer, or someone who wants to know more about the Christian faith. You can find out more about Alpha at alphausa.org. alphausa.org. And last Tuesday, I had an interview with Lene Smith. She's the regional director of Alpha out of Chicago, and she would be happy to answer any questions about you getting involved in Alpha or hosting Alpha at your church or business or a small group setting. You can call Lene at 574-532-5691, 574-532-5691. If you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.